Welcome back, everyone, to The Xamarin Show. I'm your host, James Montemagno, and today I'm crazy excited to be inside a beautiful Building 27, freshly remodeled with my good friend Matt here. We're going to talk about continuous integration with App Center. How's it going, Matt?
Hey, yeah, it's doing really good.
Good? Yeah.
As you said, we're going to be talking about continuous integration, what that means, why it's important, and how App Center can help you with that.
Yeah. So what do you do here at Microsoft? What's your background when it comes to the App Center team?
So I'm a software engineer on the App Center build team. I originally was working on Hockey App as a software engineer on the SDK team, and then I switched roles when we launched App Center.
Got it.
Yeah, that's what I do.
So Hockey App, essentially, so people that maybe have been using, I used Hockey App a lot in the previous, that was more of a kind of distributing your app and then also monitoring, correct? There was no build part of it or anything like that.
Exactly, yeah. So the main focus of Hockey App was crashes and distribution and getting feedback from the users. And for App Center, we added the component of continuous integration through the build feature.
Got it.
Among other things.
All right, so App Center is like a bunch of different services and build, is that like the starting point, or can you use any of them, or how does that kind of work?
You can use any of them as you can mix and match as you want, and you can even use if you want third party services.
Ah, cool.
But for us, it really starts with the build store usually. Like that ties in all the different features and services of App Center. Really.
So if I'm a developer building mobile apps, one, what can you guys build, and then why do I even care?
So
that's always a question.
Well, App Center supports all the major platforms that you know and love, like iOS, Android, and Windows, of course. And we support native development in Objective-C, Swift, Java, but also, of course, Xamarin.
Got it. Cool.
And React Native.
And so really, if you're in an enterprise where you're building all sorts of applications, sometimes you have a bunch of smattering of different things App Center's got to cover.
Exactly. Or if you're trying out different technologies, you maybe have some legacy projects that were written natively and now you've selected to go Xamarin.
Got it.
For example.
Okay.
And the reason why you care is that as you stack up these apps and these projects and they become more complex, you want to make sure that they're always in good state.
Got it. Yeah, so developers were pushing code.
Exactly.
And then I don't want to break it.
Exactly. Your team grows, people leave, knowledge gets transferred, but also you're constantly evolving your product. Mm. And so whenever you're pushing new code to your repository, you want to make sure that the app still works. Every tiny component and every flow of it still works. That's what continuous integration and continuous delivery is all about.
Got it. Okay, so continuous integration, what we'll look at today, which is going to be building, and then putting it on someone's device will be the delivery part, which we're going to have more episodes on App Center, which I'm super excited about. And integration's always been hard for me because I've always been working, on an app, sometimes by myself, but then once I grow to working on a team with multiple people, where do they even build it? Do I build it on this machine? Who has the key store? Who has the provisioning profiles? So does App Center handle all that as well, or?
Exactly, yeah. One of the typical struggles, for example, iOS apps, was that you needed to run the builds on a Mac, and you needed to host that Mac somewhere, right?
Yeah, I have a little Mac Mini under my desk that just like is
exactly.
Just, like,
that's
in
what
a corner.
That's what a lot of companies have gone for, and of course, it's very frustrating at points. And so App Center solves this by providing you with hosted Macs.
Oh, very
cool.
So
you don't have to take care of running the machines, updating software or anything. We do that for you.
Okay.
And you can just run your builds on a Mac, and your Windows builds are run on the Windows machine.
Makes sense.
That we should know how to do.
Yeah.
and then you can just select your platform for your app and connect it to your repository.
Oh, okay.
And then it it just works. It finds the project in your repository and it builds that with the right tool set.
Cool. So you want to show us that today?
Sure.
From scratch?
Yeah.
I love from scratch because that's what I wanted. I said, Matt, if you're going to do it, I want someone brand new. Yeah. Sometimes I'm brand new too, and App Center is always evolving. So let's do it. You want to head over to your desk?
Yeah.
Cool. Let's go. All right, here we're at your beautiful desk. Look at this. Look at that very vertical, crazy monitor. I love it. All right, so what are you going to show us today?
So I'm going to show you three things. First, we're going to set up a new app in App Center
right away
and configure a build for it.
Okay.
Then I'm going to show you how we do builds for one of our tester apps that we ship for our users. Okay. And this is going to be an Android project. And I'm also going to show you how it looks for iOS, both Xamarin apps.
Oh, cool. Perfect. All right, cool. Let's set it up. Let's hop over to your Mac.
All right. So,
well, what is this? Where am I at right now?
So this is my App Center account, like okay. my org. We have an App Center org here, and we already have two apps, but I'm going to add another one.
So if I'm working on all sorts of apps, I'll just see them all lined in here, and I see Android and iOS. So I'm creating a specific kind of project for iOS or Android or Windows.
Yeah, so every app is one platform.
Got it.
And so you're going to see like all of your apps for your different platforms. You can filter them by OS. You can use different ways to view the app list.
Okay.
And so what I'm going to do is just I'm going to click on Add New App.
Okay.
So this is like a typical dialogue. I have to select a name for my app. I have to select the OS and the platform. So for this demo, I'd say I'll just call it Test App because test is always great. And I'm going to use the Android OS.
Ah, some things changed on the bottom down here.
Exactly. So of course, like for Android, you cannot write your app in Objective-C or Swift. So we're switching to Java here, which is the like native equivalent for Android. And so we're going to be using Xamarin, of course. And so I'm just going to click Add New App. That's going to create that app for me.
So when I select that, what is that telling App Center? Specifically, and why do I have to select it?
So it tells App Center that you want to have a Xamarin app, and we have it for Android. So that helps it when you, for example, when your app crashes, that we detect the right like way to analyze your crashes, or for build, that we look for the right projects in your repository.
It's like a hint, basically, like, hey,
exactly.
Since I'm telling you that Xamarin Android, you're going to know how to do a bunch of stuff for me.
Exactly.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. And so coming from HockeyApp at least, like people always had this limitation that they only got two free apps. With App Center, you get as many free apps as you want. So you can create as many as you want. So we don't look at this as a limitation that you can only select one platform for your app, right?
Got it. So you set up as many apps as you want and then build as many you want for free?
Yes.
Cool.
We have a free tier. Can go into details more on that later.
Yeah, we'll link to the pricing in the show notes for sure. But for majority of people, building for free.
Exactly.
As well.
Yeah.
Cool.
That's what we're aiming for.
Let's do it. I see build, test, distribute, and build's number one.
Exactly. So yeah, as we mentioned before, like build is usually one of our starting points. So when we go select build, you can already see like we support those three services right now. Of course, we support VSTS, mm-hmm. we support GitHub and Bitbucket.
Oh, cool. So no matter where my code lives, public, private, doesn't matter.
Exactly. We actually started out with GitHub first.
Okay.
So we got GitHub and Bitbucket and then VSTS.
Oh, nice.
So we were going where the developers are. Most of them were on GitHub at the time. So now we have all of these three.
Cool.
And so I'm just going to go and select GitHub. I'm signed into my GitHub account, so I can see all my repositories here.
And like me, you have about 5,000.
So. Exactly. You know all those test pro repositories. And I'm going to select this App Center Hockey app repository. And what it's going to do is just going to like link that repository to that app.
Oh, so now they're best friends.
Exactly. So whenever I push code to that repository, App Center is going to be notified for
it. Oh, cool.
And so now, and of course, I can also see the branches that we have in the repository. So I can, for example, go ahead and configure this this new branch that I just created, where I want to do I have a Slack notification every single time that a build completes.
Oh, cool! So you're going to set up per branch essentially.
Exactly.
The build.
Exactly.
Yeah. So often I'm building out a master, but hey, sometimes I have 1,000 feature branches, but I don't want to have them all built, so I'm in control.
Exactly.
Okay. So
typically, like you want to have your master branch go to production if you do deployment,
or
you want to have your develop branch go to like testing or integration.
Got it. So that way you can control the flow. So if you're like, hey, my dev branch, I'm going to go to internal QA, but master, I'm going to distribute later onto the App Store.
Exactly. Yeah.
Cool.
That's the model we are pursuing here.
Let's set it up.
Okay. So I can see the latest commit I have on that and when it was, and I can configure a build right here, and so what I can see is it analyzed the repository in the background. So when I linked the repository and I selected that branch, is what it did is like it looked at the repository and like looked at all the folders and files and found out, since we know it's a Xamarin Android app that we're looking for, it found this one project.
Automatically. Just
exactly.
Done. Oh, that's
don't
cool.
don't
that's
have
nice.
To do a thing.
That's nice.
And if there were multiple Android Xamarin projects in there, then of course I would get a list here.
Oh, cool.
But since there's only one, it's already pre-selected for me.
Got it.
That's neat. So I'm going to be building that for the release configuration.
Now, those configurations come from the project, essentially?
Exactly.
Oh,
yeah.
Nice. So if I had If I had an app center and an app store and I had all these different configurations, it would show them all there.
Exactly. That's what we're analyzing. Nice. We're doing this for all the other platforms as well, too, like Android, Java, or native iOS, of course. Then, the typical scenario when I have for continuous integration is every single time I push commits to my repository, I want to have an integration. I want to have this build. So that's the build frequency that we already have selected here. And I'm going to expand that here, and we're going to see that we also can pick some more intricate details, like the mono version that I want to use for this Xamarin project.
Oh, so basically, you guys and gals have all of these versions, or like Mac somewhere, that are going to build, but you can go backwards compatible. So if you're today have your Mac CI set up, that's like, no, I need to build this against 5.0.1, you can totally do it.
Exactly. So we have an offering of all the stable and a couple of most widely used legacy versions of the Xamarin frameworks and connected mono versions.
That's super nice, just because
that you need for compatibility.
Yeah, because sometimes you're not even ready to go to the next one. You're like, no, this is building today. Don't go to the next one until I'm ready.
Exactly.
So it's nice that it sticks there.
So I'm going to stay with the latest stable for now. Then I already mentioned, I want to hook up a Slack notification.
Oh, cool.
And so what I can do that with is I can use what we call build scripts. Oh, so these are scripts that are executed at predefined stages during the build lifecycle. For example, when you just cloned your repository on the build agent, when the build has finished, for example. And so this is what I have here. It's a so-called post-build script. So that runs every time a build is finished. And what I did is it's a simple shell script, bash script, that I can run, for example, install npm packages and run a Slack notification.
Yeah, and you can do anything there. So if you already have custom scripts that you're changing version and strings and all sorts of stuff, you just put it in your GitHub repo. Is that where that lives? I don't see an upload button.
Exactly. So it lives right in your repository. The documentation link contains all the information on how naming schemes work and where to place them. And so it will detect them automatically for you if they're in that particular spot. Then I'm going to select to increment the version code.
Yes, my favorite feature. I would like to say that I may be the reason that this feature exists. I'm not positive. There's some long history there. But automatically increment. You're building nonstop. And as a developer, I know the app stores are very particular about version numbers.
Exactly. Yeah. We heard a lot of feedback on that particular feature, both for app store reasons, but also for Android, right? If you're pushing out new releases from your app all the time, but they keep the same version and version code, you won't be able to install the new version over an already installed version. So what we're doing here is we're incrementing the version code every single time. We're setting that in your final APK for an Android app or your IPA for an iOS app.
Okay.
And so I'm going to use the build idea here. So that's a unique value that is incrementing every time I build.
Okay.
So just to make sure that every build has a higher version, I can install those.
Many sections. What else do we have here? Environment variables?
So exactly. We do have environment variables. So these are variables that you can pass in to your build flow or your build scripts.
Oh, cool.
So for example, you can use them if you don't want to commit some secrets into your repository.
That's nice,
you can just set them here and then use them from your scripts. And we also make sure that, for example, if you set them here and if you set them to secret, that they're going to be masked from the build output.
Oh, very cool.
So nobody's going to be able to see them.
It's like your own little key value store. That way, you don't have to embed those super private secrets and everything's done at build time, which is the way you want to do it.
Exactly. You don't want to have that in your repository history because then it's hard to remove that from there, right? We're not going to use any of them here. The other thing I want to do is I want to sign those builds. So what I want to do in the end is I want to distribute the builds to one of my tester groups. And for that, in order to them to be able to install them, of course, I have to sign them.
Yeah, or if you want to go to the App Store, if you just want to put it on your own device, not in debug mode.
Exactly. And we already, for example, if you look down here for a second, we already disable the distribute builds because we tell you, well, it's not signed.
Not signed, so you can't do
it. So you cannot distribute. It doesn't make any sense, right?
Okay.
So we're going to sign them. And for Android, what I'm going to need usually is I need a key store and the credentials, key store password, key alias, and key password.
And this here could be a JKS file, a key store file, exactly. Visual Studio generates these for you automatically, or exactly. you've done it what via the Java old school. I used to remember typing this super long command into a key store generation. So
exactly. Yeah.
All right. Cool.
So I have one of those just ready here. I'm just gonna drag and drop it here.
Okay.
And it's also gonna show me the name and just make sure that it's a valid file.
So then that is stored inside of secure storage for my app somewhere.
Exactly.
Magical secure file store.
Yes, so it's going to be a secret. Like, you're not going to be able to download it from the build machine. Like, if somebody is able to like get access of those machines, like, we are not even going to be able to use it.
Oh, cool. Nice.
And same way, I'm going to configure the signing credentials. Like, I need to provide keys to password, key alias, and key password. Similar story as with iOS, where I need to upload my certificate and my distribution profile. Then what I'm also going to do is I'm going to select to test it on a real device. So very often you have this situation where, like, you know, you build fine, your unit tests run fine, but something in your app is not right that makes it not launch on any on a set of devices, especially for Android, right?
Yeah, some multi-dex error could occur. Just you type some bad code in your app startup.
Or all the different like form factors, something causing your app to crash. And so what we're going to do here is we're going to select a test on real device. Is we're going to, when you build the app, every time we're going to provision a set of devices.
Okay.
And we're going to run a quick launch test. Just install the app, launch it, see if it
automatically
succeeds, or if it throws any like errors or exceptions. Yeah. And we're going to like inform you here, of course, like, please don't use any personal data in your test. Like with the credentials and repository, it makes sense, right? And finally, what I was intending to do is also distribute those builds one of my apps distribution groups. So I have a collaborators group, these are all the people I'm collaborating on that app with, and it's already pre-selected.
So if you had multiple groups, would they all show up in there?
Exactly.
Or is that the idea, I guess?
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah.
So I guess we're going to have another session on distribution,
yeah.
and there you're going to see how to set up distribution groups.
Got it.
And then you can just select one of them here, and every time I push a build, I push a commit, I push a build, and then it's going to distribute that release to my testers.
Got it, cool.
So that's like the continuous delivery part.
Oh, nice.
And finally, what we also have is like we have a build status badge.
Oh, a little nice. Those little badges for your, so if you're open source, or for me, I just like to have them on my status page. Like, no, it's all green, I swear.
Exactly.
So, cool, and that'd be per branch then, I guess, technically.
Yes.
Oh, very cool.
And then we could just click save and build.
Okay.
And so it's going to configure all of what I just set up, and it's going to kick off my first build.
Oh, okay. Nice.
And so we see it running. Like, it queued the build, it's waiting. And any second now, it should be running.
So what's actually happening here behind the scenes, I guess? What actually happened when I click that save, and then what actually is happening currently right now?
Yeah, so what's happening is like we're saving that configuration off to our cloud, and we're provisioning a machine, like a Mac in that case, to run that. And of course, it sometimes takes a couple of seconds to get one of our build agents running. Or like get one of those associated with that particular build.
Oh, cool.
And now it's started, and I see the build logs flowing in. And you can already see it's downloading a set of tasks, and it will be performing all the steps that I need to build my Xamarin Android app.
Oh,
so
very cool.
It's going to check out my source, of course, like we see here. It's going to detect that I need to do some like preemptive setup for Xamarin Android, especially. Then it's going to detect all the NuGets and just going to restore all my NuGets for my project so that I can build.
Yeah.
And after that, it's going to run just typical MS build. Like,
oh, nice.
Just like you do on your local machine.
Yep. So cool. So this will be going for a few minutes here. So what would this look like if I did iOS? I know you said you had one already set up ahead of time.
So yeah, I do have an iOS app here.
Okay, so this is like kind of that configuring the same branch.
Exactly, and we see a small set of differences. For example, we do have a different set of projects here since we cannot reliably detect all of them. You have to pick one. I guess we're going to use this one.
Okay,
that sounds like it.
Yeah.
Also, I can see like same configurations as we have mono version selection. On iOS, we also need you to select the matching Xcode version.
Makes sense.
Same story as with build scripts and build
Everything
type and frequency. We do have build type for device or simulated build
got
files
it, yeah.
as well. And then the rest is just like the same story. You can configure environment variables, signing, and distribution.
If you want to set one of these up real quick, you could just say, hey, I have a branch, I'm just going to do debug, and you could just leave a bunch of this stuff off because you're like, oh, I'm going to delete this later, right? Yeah. So it's kind of as much or as little as you want in this build.
Exactly. Yeah. It comes with sensible defaults.
Yeah.
So most of the time you can just like set it up, use the right project, save and build, and just see how it goes.
Gotcha. So now, as new versions of Xamarin come out, if we scroll up to this top and new versions of Xcode come out, is App Center going to automatically change those, or how does that part work? Because that's important to me as a developer.
Yeah. So we strive to always support the latest versions, like latest stable versions. So whenever, say, Apple releases a new version of Xcode or there's a new version of Xamarin, we will install those and provision those on the Macs and the Windows machines to make sure that your builds are still running.
Cool. Nice. Let's check in on Android and let's see if what's happening.
So I already have an Android app that performed this particular build with a launch test.
Oh, cool.
And so this is what I'm going to see once the build is finished. So it's my build details page.
Okay.
And from here, what I can do is, like, of course, I can still like browse the logs, see
all
what
logs.
Happened.
You get,
see...
I mean, who doesn't love logs?
Exactly.
I mean, it's my favorite part.
Exactly.
Especially when
for
something
debugging.
Goes wrong.
Yeah. That's when you want to see those logs. Until then, it doesn't matter that much.
Yeah.
Then you can see how long it took, and we'll see like the provisioning of the devices takes some time for launch.
So this here, this 10 minutes, is because it not only built the application, but it was waiting for that launch screen test, which I assume at a time.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So how long would it have taken if I didn't have that launch screen? Under 5 minutes, okay. So, because since you have to actually provision a physical device, install on a device, report back, that makes sense.
Yeah.
So maybe you only want to do that on certain branches. Is that kind of,
or at least I guess you want to do this on like your mainline integration branches where you do production, where you really want to make sure that quality is solid, then can take some time to build, but you want to make sure that quality is there.
Yeah, 10 minutes is not bad though, for doing all of that all at once, yeah.
And apart from that, like I can see it was launch tested, I can quickly jump to the results here.
I like that it gives you all that little information, like it was signed, like here's your results, here's everything that you need to know about this
build. Exactly, yeah. So I can see, and we're going to dive into this in another session, but I can see real quick here, okay, the launch test succeeded.
It's good to go.
Let me jump back to my build details. I can see it's signed, as you mentioned. Then over here, I can download. I can download either the build, like say the APK, so it's just going to download that to my machine.
Oh, nice.
So it's, and there it is. Or I can download the logs.
Cool.
And for iOS apps, for example, of course, we offer you a download of symbols.
Oh, like
the symbols
DSIM.
That you, exactly.
Yeah.
And finally, what I can do, like if I hadn't set up distribution or I wanted to manually distribute to another distribution group here, I can also select distribute from here.
Okay.
And for this app, I do have a couple more distribution groups set up. So I can say, I want to push this particular release. That's good. That I want to have to my beta testers. So I'm going to click next. And we already pre-populated the release notes with your latest commit message.
Oh, that's really cool.
And you can, of course, use Markdown in here, and we have a preview for that. I'm just going to leave it as is. I think those are
perfect. That's what every tester loves to see.
Changes. and I'm just going to click distribute the build, and the same thing is going to happen as when I distribute it. So it's going to create a new release in distribution in App Center for me, and people are going to be able to install from there.
Nice. So from setting up, linking it to their GitHub repo, building it all in the cloud magically, and then saw the test results, downloaded it, distributed it.
Exactly.
Without ever actually leaving the build service right there. Like we didn't actually click on any other tabs at all.
Yep.
Super cool. Matt, awesome. This has been fantastic. We'll add all of the links in the show notes so you can actually do this yourself. But that was awesome. I'm always learning so many of the nice little features in there. So until next time, Matt, thank you for joining me and showing this off.
Thanks, James.
This has been another episode of The Xamarin Show. Thanks for watching, and don't forget to subscribe up over there, down over there. You know what to do. Ding that bell, and thanks for watching.